Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Spencer Retail Q4 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhil Parekh from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Manav. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the Spencer Retail 4Q FY24 conference call. From the management team, we have Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO and MD, Mr. Saket Shah, Group Head IR and ESG, Mr. Sandeep Banka, CFO, Mr. Pankaj Kedia, VP IR, and Mr. Harshal Gadhani, Chief Manager. Without taking much time, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Anuj Singh. Sir, over to you for your opening remarks.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for your time today to have a discussion with us. I think we're talking, you know, after a long hiatus, we came back and we had our first call roughly about 2 months ago. I think March 10th was when we spoke. Now, I don't know how many of you were on the call then and how many of you are still here, but, you know, we did talk about, you know, in that call, we did talk about what we are doing in FY24, specifically in quarter one and quarter two, and we also gave an update on the quarter three because this was after the quarter three results were announced. So, I won't get into repetitive mode by telling you on what we did in H1 and what the impact would be, because some of you would be on the call, but I will definitely reference that particular, you know, sequence just to complete the whole story. So really, I mean, you know, just to recap without getting into details and referencing, we had, if you remember and recollect, we had said that H1 for us was about, you know, recalibrating, resetting some parts of the business, taking some much-needed tough decisions. So we exited from high-loss-making stores, five high-loss-making stores, as well as stores in Chennai and Kerala. There were about 19 stores, about roughly about 100,000 sq ft trading area, and sales, annualized sales of about 95-odd crores from which we exited because they were high-loss-making stores. So this definitely we had kind of given an, you know, indication that this will impact both, you know, H1 as well as larger FY24. In addition to that, we also talked about how we had identified opportunities to right-size the organization, right-size in terms of a structure which was in keeping with what the top line for the company was. And we had also identified and started working on growth drivers because, you know, as you all appreciate, you know, we can do cost corrections and cost resetting for one time, but ultimately the whole EBITDA swing is going to be driven by our ability to drive growth. So those were some of the things which we had already identified in H1, you know, executed in Q2, and in Q3 we saw, you know, a good impact of festive season. So if you look at it from a, you know, growth perspective, you know, we had SSG on both parts of the business as far as SRL and NBL was concerned, and this was both quarter-on-quarter growth and YoY growth as well. We'd also at that point of time said that, look, historically and for us, quarter four is a softer quarter compared to quarter three, so therefore we had kind of, you know, you may say forewarned that, you know, quarter four would be soft, and therefore, when we look at the results, which I'm sure all of you would have had a chance to look at it since we announced it on Friday, quarter four was indeed a soft quarter with at least a marginal growth which was coming in. Consolidated business growth for us for the quarter was roughly a shade under 1%, but if you look at it, netting off the impact of the closed stores on the Spencer part of the business, it is a 3% LFL like-for-like growth on a year-on-year basis, along with a slight expansion in gross margins. Gross margins were at 19.5% for the consolidated business. A lot of the growth in Q4, specifically, if you look at it, Nature's Basket delivered healthy 12% growth, basis, you know, reinvigoration of certain categories like fresh, but more importantly, the launch of 3 new stores and a dramatic expansion in margins, which were about 120 basis point improvement. Spencer's, on the other hand, was flat, was actually minus 1% growth. But if you look at it, a like-for-like basis, netting off the closed stores, a 3% growth, and margins were flat at 18.1%. During the quarter, we added 5 new stores, like I mentioned, 2, 3 in NBL, in Nature's Basket, and 2 in Spencer's. Cumulative about slightly less than 30,000 square feet trading area was added in Q4. We also extended our e-commerce express delivery proposition, which we had launched in Calcutta in October, to our strategic cluster in Eastern UP, namely the cities of Banaras and Lucknow. The response has been encouraging and is convincing us that that's an area which we need to focus on and expand as we get into next year or this year. Our operating costs for the quarter were at a consolidated level 118 crores. It's 11 crores more than quarter four last year, but this does not reflect the real operating costs which have been streamlined right through the year. So most of it will start hitting us from FY25, where we'll be able to operate under a slightly lower operating cost. So yeah, so Q4 EBITDA was negative, minus 8 crores, compared to the 3 crores which we had in last year. If you look at it, therefore, from a full year perspective, like I said, the impact of the H1 action specifically on SRL meant that our consolidated business revenue was 2,345 crores, lower than what it was in FY23. And there was a slight deterioration in the EBITDA. But really, I mean, that's if you look at it, at a snapshot. But if we peel the onion a little bit further and look at it from quarter on quarter or on H1 versus H2, it really is a story of two halves. H1 was where we had the sharpest drop in top line, as a result of the store closures which we had. So H1 of FY24 compared to FY23 was a degrowth of 10%, about 126 crores in top line. But if you look at H2, where we had a quarter three and then quarter four, where some of this impact, the base impact wasn't there, we got into growth there, because the quarter three was on a consolidated basis a 2.5% growth, and quarter four was 0.6%. So really, I mean, it gives us confidence, and I can say, while one data point does not make a trend, but I think it is evidence to the point that we have plateaued at a steady sales rate from which we now need to just pick up and grow the top line. The operating costs at a full year basis the gross margins were we sustained it at 20.1%, which I think is a very healthy gross margin business for a grocery-led retailer. Our operating costs were at a consolidated level 484 crores, which is 5 crores versus last year. This is again largely on account of the optimization of controllable costs and the fuller impact of which, like I mentioned earlier, would come in from this year. Our EBITDA swing was a deterioration of 22 crores, so we ended the year with 14 crores, 36 crores was last year, and therefore our PBT was higher. Again, very different story in H1 versus H2, and similarly a different comparative when it comes to Spencer's and ND. On Nature's Basket, there has been, if you look at it, albeit on a smaller scale, it operates the business on a smaller scale. It has delivered sales growth as well as expansion in margins, and therefore improvement in EBITDA. And that gives us the confidence that we would sustain this as we move into next year. On Spencer's, I think the tough part, some of the decisions and recalibrating the operating cost structures, all of that was taken last year. And we are confident of realizing all those operational, cost advantages going forward, starting from April of this year. The challenge will be, and the endeavor and the resolve and the plans are all centered around driving top line growth. And I think that's where our plan for this year is all centered upon. So if I were to just make the transition into what are we going to be focusing on in the coming year, clearly for us it's a two-pronged strategy. One is to drive our revenue growth both across SRL and NBL. That's the most whilst realizing all the aggressive cost-cutting initiatives which have been, I would say, actioned off in quarter four of last year, resulting in a significant improvement in EBITDA. I think that's a simple objective as far as the business is concerned. I'll talk through it a bit differently in terms of what SR Spencer's would do and what MD would do. I think when it comes to Spencer's, really, I mean, we have the plan is roughly looking at a 70-75 crore swing in EBITDA, which is going to be delivered 50% by the costs which we have worked towards bringing down, and the other half coming from the improvement in our RGM, which will largely be driven by top line growth, not so much by expansion in percentage margins, and that's what it is. Now, for driving these, our operational framework is something which we call a 7C model. It essentially is the first part of it is cost, which I will not elaborate too much, but you already referenced that. That's work which has been done. The second component of the 7C model is around driving growth, and that is starting with customers, looking at categories, channels, and which clusters. That is what will form the bulk of our growth driving initiatives. And the third part of the 7C, the other two C's are around building capabilities and ensuring and allocating capital to build these capabilities and to realize the revenue growth. So really, the 7 C's are centered around cost, looking at the customer, the categories, channel, clusters in which we operate, and then building the capabilities as well as deploying the right level of capital to drive both the capability building as well as the revenue growth. I'll just take a pause and talk a bit more about the growth drivers. And I think it starts with the customer. So really for us, we've used the time to go back and really look at all our customer insights, customer behavior, and we do have, we are in a business where we do have the benefit of having a lot of data on customers, not just on the demographics of the customers, which actually we don't have such a good profile, but we really have a very rich profile of what they shop, when they shop, how many times a month they shop. So the complete transaction analysis is there. And that data, of course, we need to move into a far higher level of data analysis and then looking at how we can do a very systematic CRM effort on that. But really what that data shows us is that, our month-on-month, comeback rate for our customers is not at the level at which it should be. So there's a huge opportunity for us being a grocery retail business, just working on my loyal base of customers, increasing the frequency both within the month and let's say within the quarter is something which is an easier task to do than to fight the battle of trying to get new customers. So I think as customers, the while we will always look at how we attract new customers, an efficient way for us to drive our top line growth would be to increase our percentage of retention, to increase the frequency at which customers shop with us, and obviously then links to retention and frequency driving the ABV. And there are systematic programs which we will drive to make sure that we're not spreading ourselves too thin. This is not about a carpet bombing approach, but this is really about precision marketing. We have close to 6 million customer data in terms of what they've shopped, when they've shopped, which channel, what time of this thing. And I think a lot of that data mining and acting on that data, whether it be a predictive model, whether it be a reactive model, I think that can drive a lot of value for the business without getting defocused and trying to, be everywhere and try and follow a very mass approach. So really driving retention, frequency, and monetary value of customers is our one big pillar of driving growth. The other is looking at it from a category point of view. We do operate in multiple categories, being a hypermarket. And for us, what we've also realized, and it actually links back to the first point, is how do we sharpen our category focus and power play some of the categories. I think I had alluded to some of this in my last call as well. So really for us is as part of sharpening our proposition, I think we need to fire up our core portfolio of the food portfolio, which is staples, fresh, and FMCG. While today are both on the margins as well as the mix, both staples and FMCG, I would say do fairly well for us. You know, we benchmark our FMCG margins are probably top of the industry. Our staples margins are good. In staples, our mix of private brands is very strong. So I think those are categories where we need to continue doing some of the good work and then the base which we build. I think the category where we will focus on and which is also strategic for us as part of the overall food offering is the fresh category. And link back to what I had mentioned about customer retention and frequency, fresh is a big driver of both retention, but more importantly, of the frequency. Fresh gets people to come back to your stores or order on your thing in a more frequent manner. And therefore, as part of our category sharpening proposition, fresh would be a category which would be in focus. Similarly, in the non-food part of it, the mix for which, for us, has been at a steady, shade under 20%. I think the endeavor is to see how we work smartly, specifically in terms of how we allocate our working capital, how do we have better inventory turns. And therefore, from that point of view, we are looking at how we will, some sense and manner recalibrate the apparel part of our business. General merchandise is, I think we've got the playbook relatively sorted. And on apparel, we will do. Unfortunately, I can't share more color on that, but you will hear from that in the next quarter. Apparel will play, we'll play smart on apparel. I mean, it's important part of the full offering for a hypermarket. But, we believe that we are better off having that whilst not focusing our capabilities and our bandwidth on that. We will do that doing it on the food part of the business or on the food mix. So that's on the category part of it. The other C, which is on channel, we are a business where we have what we call a couple of channels. Last year, in the last call, I did mention that we had started a more structured B2B program under the banner Wholesale Banner Bazaar. We launched the first Wholesale Bazaar last year in October in Siliguri, and we believe that we've got the desired results to prove that there is a model there in certain geographies for us as a proposition. So we will be expanding the Wholesale Bazaar in a very proliferated manner, but in a very carefully selected manner. We will have a couple of more Wholesale Bazaars which will drive our B2B business. Now, of course, this B2B business comes at a lower margin compared to the retail business, but it gives a much higher efficiency in terms of inventory turns, in terms of the SPSF which you generate from a big box. So that's one part of the channel which we go. Our focus in terms of looking at driving SSSG from the existing stores will be the primary focus. It's not that we will focus only on Wholesale Bazaar. I think the core of the business, the bulk of the business, is our store business, and we will drive growth on that. The other channel for us, which is our omni-channel offering, we have both an e-commerce as well as a phone delivery proposition. Today, it is at about 12%, 12.5% of the mix, and we are, obviously looking at what is happening in the customer and competitive dynamics. We feel we will drive this to a slightly higher level. As part of it, e-commerce, we are not getting into quick commerce. We bolstered our slotted delivery proposition with a proposition which is express delivery, which we started in Calcutta in October, and it worked well for us. We have a unique model. I spoke to you guys where our fulfillment happens from stores. So where we have a good density of stores, we can cover the entire city, all the pin codes from our network of stores. So that's worked well. We will continue driving that. That by no means has reached any level of saturation in Kolkata. So we'll drive that. Along with that, we will extend this proposition in Banaras and Lucknow, where we have a similar density of stores and we have the ability to service a high number of PIN codes. So on the channel part of it, it will be, you know, multiple channels which will drive our store business, B2B wholesale business as well as e-commerce. And now links to, I spoke about customers, I spoke about categories, I spoke about channels. I think linked to all of this is also the fact that we will look at our performance and what we're delivering at a slightly more granular level of looking at it at a store level. So I think every store and therefore every cluster will need to, you know, improve and come up to the level. So we don't want, I mean, today we have, you know, disparate performance across stores within the same cluster and across clusters. So we want all clusters to be closer to what the average deliverable for the company is, and we don't want any cluster or any store to be a big drag on the overall cluster or the overall company performance. So we will do that, and while doing that, it's not that, you know, in H1 we shut down stores, so we are not in contraction mode. We will be expanding and we will be adding stores. So we have, like I mentioned, you know, in on the Spencer's part of the business, we added 4 stores last year. There is a pipeline to add more stores. It's just that we will be, you know, this expansion will be judicious, it will be selective, and it would be in, you know, concentric circles, in clusters, and in clusters where we have a very distinct right to play and right to win. So you will see a lot of, you know, I mean, you will see us opening stores. Like last year, we opened stores in Badohi, in Barabanki, in Eastern UP. We added a store in, one more store in Siliguri. So we will see store expansions definitely, and we have, you know, 7-8 in the pipeline already for the year, which are in Eastern UP as well as, you know, in the East. So there will be, on from a cluster level, we will drive cluster level improvement in store EBITDA performance, but we will also drive expansion in the clusters, which makes sense. So I think the focus in driving growth is through customers, category, channels, and clusters. I already spoke to you about costs. The cost part we've discussed, we've already taken the action. Most of these actions were done in Q4. We are very confident that they will start playing out. They will. They are already playing out in Q1. This is a combination of looking at, you know, operating costs both at the store level, you know, at the RODC level, which is our regional offices, our DC network, as well as in the corporate office. So it's a fairly aggressive program, but we are confident that it is going to deliver. And I think the last two pieces which are linked to, you know, while we attain the right level of cost, we drive growth, we also have to be mindful for the fact that we you know, when you're doing cost optimization, you should not be optimizing or cutting back on the capabilities of the organization. And therefore, you know, it's very clear for us that we do have to, you know, beef up and build our capabilities in certain areas. Three areas which I would like to kind of call out are the ones where we need to beef up our capabilities. Is one is in this whole area of, you know, precision marketing, what I spoke about in customers. You know, today, you know, in the age of, you know, I think it's advanced analytics. There is not just advanced analytics, it's not generative AI. I think today as an organization, we are far from that. And I think it's not that we are going to be, you know, betting the farm in terms of moving into artificial intelligence, but I think the journey towards, you know, data analysis-led, predictive, precision marketing approach towards customer is something which we want to invest, you know, a fair amount, I would say, from our relative size to build that capability. The other area is, again, linked to how data and analytics is driving different ways of working. I think even in our, you know, supply chain, we need to look at how we can, you know, incorporate some modern contemporary planning, forecasting, as well as, you know, real-time agile, you know, inventory management. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we need to bring down our days on hand. We need to increase our inventory turns. We're making good progress on that. We are not, you know, best, anywhere close to best in class, but we are quite conscious of the fact that that's an area which we need to do, and that cannot be done just by manual brute force. That is where we need to adopt some of the capabilities which have evolved in the industry in terms of predicted, past, forecasting, machine-based learning in terms of how do you plan, forecast, and then do real-time inventory management. That's the second area. And I think the third area for us is in capability building is, in our endeavor to build a stronger e-commerce mix in our business. Obviously, we are conscious that this does not come automatically, organically. This needs to be built, and therefore the right level of investment has to be done. So the three capability areas, one is around customer marketing, CRM. The second is around supply chain, making sure that we are able to work what I call smart buying, effective buying, increasing turns. That will also mean that we are being very efficient in terms of working capital, allocation and the use of funds. And the third area in capability building is around the e-commerce, where we really want a specialized real-time integrated e-commerce unit. I must make the point that, look, I mean, over the course of the last 6 months, realizing this, we've had a chance to refresh our leadership team. So, we've had just in the last 6 months, I would say we brought in a new chief market merchandising officer. We had a new head of operations. We had a marketing head. So I think all of these capabilities, refreshed leadership is also something we've done. We've recently elevated an internal, candidate as our CFO. We've got a new head of supply chain, and we will be, similarly looking at, on the e-commerce side of it. So really, I think, we do understand that the task which is cut out in terms of driving growth requires a certain level of focus, requires a certain level of capability build, and therefore we are willing to call that out and focus on that. And of course, to do all of this also means that, like I said, I referenced just one part of the capability, which is human capital, but it also requires financial capital, and therefore, we are cognizant of the fact that we will need to deploy timely and optimum financial capital behind all of these activities to drive growth. I think ultimately we need to get into the virtuous cycle where we are able to drive growth at a recalibrated cost level. And I think that's where we will definitely also require the financial capital. And I think all of you are sharp, eagle-eyed. You would have picked up that there was, in the last board meeting, there was an enabling provision for looking at an equity infusion at the right time in the right quantum. So I think that is all, if you can tie in the story, it's all towards driving growth in the business while we have done the one-time correction as far as the costs are concerned. That's a brief snapshot in terms of what we want to do next year or this year, or we already in this year. And that was on Spencer's and our Nature's Basket. I think we want to continue, driving the business with a mix of new store openings. So last year we launched the new format Artisan Pantry. We've opened two stores, one in Bombay, one in Calcutta. We'll be opening one more pretty soon in Bangalore. And we will also expand into a few other cities. So we're looking at Ahmedabad, we're looking at Hyderabad, and more stores in Bombay and Bangalore. So I think the Nature's Basket piece of this thing, which comes at a higher gross margin, it's a very differentiated proposition for us. We've discovered, the mojo as well as the playbook for that. And for next year, it'll be about continuing to drive that. There are pretty ambitious targets as far as that side of the business is concerned on the top line growth. I think margins, they're sitting at 30% plus margins. So I think there it is not about margin expansion. There it's about looking at how we can drive top line. So I think both Spencer's and Nature's Basket, this year the story is about driving top line growth. Whereas for Spencer's, it's about driving the top line growth along with realizing all the cost optimization initiatives which we've done. And together at a consolidated level, like I said, we're looking at a significant improvement in EBITDA. It's almost three figures, and I think that will be driven by both top line as well as cost optimization. So that's you know, that's the story in a nutshell for quarter four, for the full year, as well as an outlook, a brief outlook as far as we're going to next year. With that, I'll pause and have a sip of water while I wait for you guys to get ready with your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our first question from the line of Anushka Chitnis from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first being that if you can quantify the extent of the cost savings and operating leverage benefits that you will get going forward from the closing of stores and cost optimization that has been undertaken. And the second question is regarding your e-commerce express delivery that you have launched. How do you position yourself competitively in Kolkata and the other markets you plan to attend against other grocery delivery apps like Swiggy, Instamart and Blinkit? That's all from my side.
Yeah. So, look, I think on the cost side of it, specific to Spencer, I said, look, we've looked at all aspects of the operating business, you know, whether it be at the store level, whether it be at our supply chain, or looking at our corporate office. And we've tried to be saying what's the right structure first. So it's not about, the whole exercise was not driven with the purpose of driving a certain percentage target reduction. It was looking at, you know, for a particular scale of business which we are at, you know, looking at if you were to design an organization from scratch, what would that look like? And I think, you know, that was a pretty comprehensive exercise done in January, or actually December, and then January we kind of, you know, took the decision on that. That has, you know, that is, I mean, I will not be able to quantify a thing, but it is, you know, anywhere in the region of 7 to 8% of total operating costs would come from that exercise. Your second question was around express delivery and e-com. So, look, I mean, on that, we've seen, the third part or the second part of your second question was around how do we position ourselves with reference to what's, you know, happening as far as the city is concerned. So, look, I'll answer the second part of your second question first. So, we are not, like I mentioned, you know, we are not getting into or following the quick commerce route of it. I think, you know, that's a very different business model. That's a very different, you know, the operators who, they don't have stores and they run a very dark store kind of a business. So it's not, we cannot ape them and get into the same business. Having said that, our primary objective is to offer our existing customers in the Spencer's ecosystem one more convenient way of ordering. You know, today it is, the way I look at it is, you know, giving them that one more option of ordering. And again, not everyone requires everything at a 10-minute notice. I think, you know, there is enough and more, luckily there are enough and more customers who want planned, who are willing to wait for an hour. And therefore, our proposition is based not on speed, but our proposition is based still on convenience and the fact that we give a wider assortment. Our assortment includes, you know, in a city like Calcutta, up to 20,000 SKUs to choose from. So, you know, that's where we are differentiated. Convenience is probably common to both. One is slightly more accentuated on convenience, which is almost instant, but limited on assortment. Ours is convenience in the sense of, you know, order sitting from home and have it delivered to your home. So that's the element of convenience, and you know, our express delivery proposition is promises within 60 minutes, so which is still convenient enough, and it offers a big assortment. So that's what our positioning is, and basis what we started in October, you know, where we used to have only slotted deliveries, which is where you choose, you know, the given time slots and the days for your delivery, to moving to Express, which we launched in October. We have seen a very, very positive adoption of this. Our overall e-commerce orders in Calcutta have gone up by 30%. You know, and of course, you do see the surges. You know, last couple of weeks, we had an extreme, you know, heat wave in Calcutta, and we saw that the number of orders, you know, do spike up, and people want to order from there. So I think our proposition there is working well. And I think that's the path which we want to go down. We still believe that there is enough and more opportunity, but we have to do it with a model which fits well for our overall business model. And we strongly believe that this is the model for us. Using our existing store network, where especially in cities where we have a high density, leveraging our infrastructure, which is there. And thirdly and most importantly, of starting with our existing set of customers who are absolutely familiar with Spencer's, the ecosystem, what is the range, and offering them the same assortment as they would get in the store, but at the convenience of either ordering on the app or picking up the phone and ordering and having it delivered to their doorstep. So that's what our proposition is all about. And, you know, we are seeing growth in that, and we will continue to grow that and invest and fuel that growth.
Anushka ma'am, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Thank you. Before we take next question, I would like to remind participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. You may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Anushka Kansara, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I audible?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question is, you mentioned some EBITDA figure in your opening remarks. And you also mentioned that 50% of that will come from cost rationalization. So could you please repeat that number?
Yeah, so I think the number of what you're referring to is what I alluded to is the improvement in the EBITDA going forward in FY24-25. And the number which I mentioned was close to a three-digit mark. So, I mean, for close to 75 to 85 crores, is the potential for our EBITDA improvement. And like I said, 50% of that is going to be driven by our cost initiatives and 50% by driving top line and therefore your RGM, your rupee gross margin. Yeah.
But sir, if you can elaborate on the levers that will result in this kind of EBITDA, because currently we are struggling to, you know, get the break-even margin level. So if you can just elaborate on how we will achieve this kind of EBITDA.
Yeah, so ma'am, if you recollect, I told you that, you know, the EBITDA improvement will come from cost and driving your growth, which will result. And I did mention, you know, what I mentioned was the 7C model. The first C of that is the cost. The other four Cs revolve around driving growth. So looking at customers, so specific interventions on customers in the form of driving retention frequency. So CRM management will lead to that's one important lever of driving growth. The other is in terms of how we refresh our proposition as far as the category play is concerned. So driving a lot more bill penetration, driving a lot more frequency in the fresh offering. You know, we are unique that we have a fresh offering which straddles everything from F&B to what we call frozen to also fish and meat, which is a very relevant offering as far as this part of the country is concerned. So really, I mean, powering that, you know, category will be a second lever in terms of driving growth. The third lever, which I mentioned to you, was on the channel part of it, which is driving both the B2B wholesale, which is under the separate banner Wholesale Bazaar, as well as driving our e-commerce through the express delivery proposition in Calcutta and beyond Calcutta and Lucknow and Banaras. So that will be the third lever for growth. And the fourth is in terms of looking at, selective judicious expansion in the priority clusters. So a combination of all of this is what we are confident will help us deliver the top line. Our margins, which are at 18%, I think, it's not that we are not, wanting an expansion in margins, but we are, I would say that our number one priority is to drive growth. So even if I can get a top line growth at the same level of margins, that will help us to deliver an incremental rupee gross margin, which coupled with the cost optimization which we're doing will be a significant improvement in EBITDA. So again, 50% of the number which I mentioned will come from cost, but an equally important 50% will come from revenue. And some of you might say that, look, cost is something which is more in your control. You've already done that. How will you drive growth? And I would tend to agree. So the cost part of it has already been done. And the revenue part is what we will remain focused on. And we have, four or five growth drivers, which I've told you, which will help us realize this.
So I hope I've been able to... for 75 to 85 crores of EBITDA for FY25. Is that correct?
It's an
Hello?
Improvement. Yeah. That's the improvement over the current level. And that's for Spencer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, my second question is regarding the debt. So if we look at our debt repayment obligation over next 2 years, it comes down to close to 180 to 200 crores. So I wanted to understand that the fundraising permission that we have taken of 300 crores, so is this to pay this near-term debt obligations and clean our balance sheet, or is this for some future expansion?
So, I think, the enabling provision for the equity institute, that's not just for one part. I think it's something which will go and help us to, A, drive, our growth ambitions. So it will be in selective expansion, the CapEx which goes in. It is to make the right investments in capabilities and also to the near term, I would say, or the short term debt repayment. So it's a combination of all three. The fundraise will not be just utilized for one specific purpose. It will be for managing all three.
Okay. So, sir, one follow-up question on this. So, how do we plan to raise this 300 crores? Will this be through debt route or via equity route?
Yeah. So, I think this is, we will come back with the means and the timing of this in a subsequent. As you know, it's just something which was approved by the board on Friday. We will come back at the right time and keep you informed.
Okay, I asked this question because diluting this amount of equity at this valuation, are you comfortable with such a big equity dilution? Hello?
So I think, this is something, the exact mechanics, modalities of it, we'll come back to you on what is it. Right now, the board feels and has approved the equity infusion up to 300 crores. That's what they've approved. When and how is something which will work, and we'll come back to you guys. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akhil Parikh from Bashiwal and Karani Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Akhil, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please.
Yes, Akhil, we can hear you.
Yeah. So, just on the beta swing which we are anticipating, right, an improvement of 75 to 85 on floor, and you did highlight that 50% is going to be from cost saving. So, apart from the cost saving which we have done as of now, right, like which includes store rationalization and overhead rationalization. Is there any further scope of improvement from a cost rationalization perspective?
So I think, look, the store closures, which did impact the top line as well as, you could say was lowered some for us, was an exercise which was done in H1. I think what we did further was in quarter four, which is in January, we did review the organization both at the corporate office as well as the regional office and the stores. And we have, initiated that exercise. That is the one which will yield us additional substantial cost advantage as we get into this year. It's not what we did last year in H1, but what we have done in Q4 in terms of optimizing. And this, like I said, is across different parts of the organization. It is linked to both looking at, the manpower efficiency, productivity at the stores, as well as the corporate office.
So, and would you be able to quantify, like, how much that reduction in employee cost is expected for FY25?
Yes, I won't break up the employee thing, but I think to one of the questions which was asked earlier, I said 7 to 8% of operating costs will be lowered.
So, and second on the growth part, right? I mean, you did highlight 7C model and, probable levers for growth, but from a store expansion perspective, any internal targets that we have, like in terms of total square feet expansion for Spencer's as well as NBL for FY25 and 26?
Yeah, so I think from a sale or from a growth point of view, I think look, we are looking at both new stores as well as driving SSS. I think that's very important because we are in, like I said, we are doubling down on the clusters where we have a right to play and win. So we really need to also juice the maximum as far as our sales per square foot is concerned. So that growth is not just going to come from expansion. It's going to come from, I would say mid-single digit SSG growth from the existing stores. It will also not be the case that we will not add on stores. So both on Nature's Basket and Spencer's, like I mentioned, we will look at selective, judicious expansion in trading area. We will look at, we have a pipeline. In NB, we are clear in which cities. And in SRL, in Spencer's, we are clear in which of the clusters if you go. But roughly about 100,000 square feet combined is the kind of additional trading area which will be added next year, which is about 10%.
Okay.
So, have I answered your question on?
Yes, you did. So if I combine both of the pieces, right, mid-single digit, like 5-6% of SSG and plus 10% of retail expansion, and so usually it takes 2-3 years for a store to ramp up, right? So would it be fair assessment, like 8-10% of a top line growth can be expected at a consolidated level?
I think I won't second guess your math. I think you've done the math well.
Okay. And on the sales throughput front, right, and any specific strategies we are planning, on how to improve on this sales for square feet, both at Spencer's and Nature's Box?
Yes, I think, on sales per square feet, I think it's about, driving your... It's a combination of you have to break it up into categories in terms of what is the area which is there. So today our non-food mix is 20% roughly. If you look at some of our stores, I think in the past, I'll be honest, in a bid to increase that, we have probably given a far higher allocation to non-food. So I think there is a combination of ensuring that you have, the right trading area allocated to food, non-food. I think I did mention that from a category point of view, we will drive a lot more of fresh, which increases the repeat and the frequency at which customers come back. So you will see a rebalancing as far as our store trading areas across categories is concerned. I also did mention that we will look at how we are a lot more efficient on our apparel or our fashion side of the business. In terms of having the right assortment and the right space given. Ultimately, we want to power the sales of, our food part of the grocery part of the business, which is staples, FMCG food and non-food, and as well as fresh, which also for us are categories which work on higher GMROI with higher rotations, more inventory turns. So I think that would be, you know, one aspect of driving more through the same trading area. I think the other part of it is linked back to as we expand and get a higher mix of our e-commerce through these clusters. As I told you, our e-commerce works, it's a store-based fulfillment model. So I think the more we grow in e-commerce, the more, you know, you're getting additional throughput from the store itself, and that will automatically drive our you know, realization per square foot at the store level. So it's a combination of, you know, doing the right category interventions, you know, looking at some reoptimization of how much space, what kind of focus we're driving on the categories, as well as driving e-commerce, which will lead to that. In addition to that, as part of the optimization exercise, I must be you know, quite transparent. We've also looked at where we can do with a little bit of optimization of the space. So there will be stores where we have looked at how we can you know, reduce some of the trading area. You know, we also looked at how we can bring in some complementary alliance partners in that space. Not just from a, you know, reducing the space for which we're paying rental, but also to drive certain specific, you know, categories which overall enrich the whole offering. So, for example, in stores, you know, we opened a store in Barabanki and Badoi where we have KFC, which is part of it. So about 2,000 square feet of that area is given to KFC. Now, you know, it helps us on both counts. It helps us to drive the same level of throughput from a slightly reduced plate, but it also helps us to attract a lot more traffic. So I think that these are the kind of, you know, selective interventions we're doing. Ultimately, it is to see how we can juice out a higher top line from, if not the same, but a slightly smaller area. So it's a combination of all of these three things, which will help us to increase our SPSM.
Sure. Last two questions. One, is there any debt reduction guidance which you would like to provide for next couple of years?
Sorry, I didn't get. Is there a guidance for what? Guideline?
Debt reduction.
Debt. Oh, we'll come back on that. I mean, that's something on which, you know, it's still work in progress. You know, and we'll come back and share at the right time.
Okay, sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, so thank you everyone for your time. I know it's a busy time of the quarter. You guys must be juggling multiple calls, but thank you for attending the call, and I hope we were able to give you some color on how the quarter and the last year went, but more importantly on what we're planning to do. You know, we, like I said, we have a clear roadmap of execution centered largely on two things. One is to drive growth, which in all senses has been a bit elusive for us, but, you know, we are not giving up hope and we are chasing that top-line growth. And while doing that, we are being absolutely, you know, disciplined in terms of ensuring that we are driving more with less. So really, if there is one mantra which, you know, we want to drive in the organization achieve is, how can we do more with less? And I think that's the endeavor we are in as far as Spencer is concerned. And on Nature's, it is about, you know, driving more with a little bit more of you know, new stores as well as focus there. You know, ultimately the proof of this will be in the execution. Everything is great on paper, but you know, when the rubber hits the road is when we realize you know, how successful we've been on both on growth and cost. But I can assure you that the management team is focused in terms of looking at all possible levers of growth. And to be honest, in our business we do have. We are not a single trick pony. I think we have multiple categories. We have a few channels. We operate in multiple clusters. So I think we do have those levers available. It would boil down to how well we choose, focus, and execute. But I remain confident that we will be able to show, you know, quarter on quarter kind of growth which we're doing. So like what we saw in quarter three versus last year quarter three, quarter four versus last year quarter four, we will be in positive growth territory, and growth will solve a lot of our problems. The issue is in terms of how do we drive that. So that will remain the focus of the management, and yeah, I mean, look forward to being with interacting with you on a quarterly basis. And so those were my closing comments, and thank you all for your patient listening, and we'll be in touch soon. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.